Hello and welcome to the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast, the DFS edition, the Daily Fantasy Sports edition. My name is John Solly. I am a fantasy football contributor here at Pro Football Weekly. You can find me on Twitter at JSolly. I'm joined by my co-host, Kyle Neighbors, Northwest Herald Sports Editor and PFW Fantasy Football Contributor. You can find him on Twitter at Kyle Neighbors. Kyle, how was your week one over on FanDuel?
You know what? I am a happy man going into week two here. I avoided the landmines that were David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell.
Congratulations.
So, yes, I don't have much to complain about in week one, despite the fact that I thought it was an awful set of games. Not a lot played out well, but I fared better than most people. How about you? How'd you do over on DraftKings?
The primetime slate ended up saving my bacon. I was all over David Johnson and, you know, very disappointed, obviously. It happens in football, and it tends to wreck your DFS lineups when guys get hurt. I also talked myself into Kendall Wright, who pretty much did nothing. So that the all-day slate was not great. The main slate was not great. But if you listen to the season-long podcast, I was very high on Sam Bradford. And in the primetime slate, I had pretty much all the Vikings. So that was a very enjoyable Monday night for me. Yeah. I ended up doing pretty well for the week.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I was intrigued by the two-game slate, and I really liked the Vikings in that position, so I went ahead and played it and also got all the Vikings I could, and I felt pretty good after that.
Nice. All right. Well, let's build off that momentum.
Absolutely.
And talk about week two. Week two, it's a little different on DraftKings than on FanDuel. DraftKings, the pricing is a little bit tight, and on FanDuel, Kyle, there's a really tough decision to make because you can get pretty much anybody you want with the pricing this week, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I'm having the trouble not finding guys that I like. I'm finding too many guys that I like, and the roster construction, it's so easy. I mean, you can fit in a Julio Jones, a Rob Gronkowski, some of the top quarterbacks like Brady and Rodgers with their top receiving options and still be able to pay up at different spots, you know, and get a couple mid-tier running backs that you feel good about. I'm really interested to see how the field plays out this week. I think there's going to be some super chalky guys because of it. And, you know, we talked a lot about variance in week one. It worked well with me fading some of those top chalk guys, and I think I'm going to head that way again.
All right. Well, that leads into what our main segment in this week. It's overweight or underweight, because regardless of where the pricing is loose or a little bit tight, you got to take a stand somewhere. If the pricing is loose, you've got to basically pick a couple of games and go with it. If the pricing is tight, you've got to pick a couple guys and go with it. So, Kyle, the first guy I want to ask you about, whether you're going to be overweight or underweight, and by that I mean, are you going to have more than the field? If a guy's projected at, say, 20% ownership, are you want to be over that or under that? So how much exposure do you plan on having to Ty Montgomery? That's the first guy we're going to talk about.
Man, so this is a tough one to start off with because I actually like the spot for him a lot. Atlanta is not good against running backs coming out of the backfield that can catch the ball. We've seen that over the last year, and now in week one for Ty Montgomery, it's going to be a high-scoring game, and Green Bay really showed a willingness to keep him on the field last week. He did, even in passing down where they had him into block, he performed really well. I think this game sets up well for him. I'm not going to fault anyone that plays him, and there's still a chance I do, but I think he's going to be the highest owned running back of the week, and when I can find guys at a similar price point at a lower ownership, I actually think I'm going to swallow this one and just pray that he has a down game, and I'm going to fade him.
Okay, so is it a complete fade, or are you just going to be underweight?
I'm going to be underweight. Okay. I don't think it's, I don't think I'm going to fault anyone that plays the guy, but I'm going to hedge a little bit and go underweight on him.
Okay, on DraftKings, he is essentially the free square this week. So I started off with an easy one for myself and a tough one on FanDuel for you, Kyle. He's 5,800 on DraftKings, which is just too cheap. Kyle, as you mentioned, you know, Atlanta is very weak against running backs, especially running backs who catch the ball. You saw that with Tariq Cohen, the Bears last week against the Falcons. So I'm going to be overweight on Montgomery. I don't care. He's the one guy this week. I don't care what his ownership is. I want all of it. I want all of the Ty Montgomery. He's going to be on every one of my lineups. If someone tells me that he's going to be 40% owned, great. 60% of the field are suckers this week. on DraftKings. See, I'm going to have all of the Ty Montgomery.
Yeah, I'm terrified. And it's only a half point PPR on FanDuel compared to a full point on DraftKings. But there's a real chance we see him have 150 all-purpose yards and 6 to 8 catches. And that if that happens, it's going to terrify me. And it's very, very possible it's going to happen. I'm just I'm playing a large field GPP, I'm just going to take the chance of fading him, I think, for the most part. Now, if I do multiple lineups, of course I'm going to throw him into a few, but I'm going to be underweight.
Okay. All right, let's move on to the next guy playing in the highest total game of the week in the Coors Field of NFL DFS at the Superdome. Brandon Cooks, who also has a revenge narrative after getting traded from the Saints to the Patriots. It seems to set up for a great spot. He is the third most expensive wide receiver on DraftKings, and he is the 7th most expensive wide receiver on FanDuel. Kyle, you're going to be overweight or underweight on Brandon Cooks? Let's say ownership is going to project out at about 20-25%.
I am going to be underweight with Brandon Cooks, and I don't think it's a bad spot for him. There's actually two other guys in this Patriots offense that I'm really, really interested in, and that is Rob Gronkowski and James White. I think you're going to see New England throwing the ball a lot in this game, which does set up well for Brandon Cooks. But when he's going to be one of the highest owned wide receivers, I'm going to look elsewhere. When it comes to the New England offense, just please don't play Chris Hogan. We've seen enough of this Chris Hogan show. He's not good at football.
Here's my argument for Hogan. Danny Amendola's hurt, right? And I don't expect Amendola to play. This all changes if Amendola plays. If Amendola's hurt, Hogan moves into the slot, and the Saints are they're weak everywhere. They're especially weak against slot guys. Hogan is a guy that he can catch a couple of long balls and go, and it doesn't require much for Hogan to pay off his salary. So that's my argument for Chris Hogan.
Okay. He's 63. I want to say 6,300 on FanDuel. My top number one play of the week is going to be James White. I think he's going to go overlooked. He's $5,700 as a running back on FanDuel. I'd much rather go that route than Hogan or Brandon Cooks.
James White is only 4,000 on DraftKings, and he's right next to Tariq Cohen.
Oh, yeah. Fire up James White. I think you're going to be very happy if you do that.
He's in a great spot. He got the most snaps in the Patriots backfield. I will generally avoid the Patriots backfield, though, because we think we get the Patriots backfield figured out, and Bill Belichick just laughs in our faces.
Here's the thing. I think the Patriots are throwing the ball a ton this week. The New Orleans Saints are the worst team in the league against opposing running backs coming out of the backfield for catches. They were awful against them last year. They did, you saw Jerick McKinnon get some touches out of the backfield from Minnesota last week. Dalvin Cook was also working out of there. I think this sets up perfectly for James White. I actually think you're going to see him in the slot as well this week. And I think that's going to be a trend as long as Danny Amendola is sidelined, which even if he comes back, I mean, history is showing us he's not going to stay on the field. I do not believe in Chris Hogan at all. I think you're going to see a ton of James White in this offense.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to the next guy. A guy I really didn't expect to be talking about is fantasy relevant this year, but he's proven me wrong, and he's in an amazing spot this week. And it's Marshawn Lynch of the Raiders. He's priced at 6,000 on DraftKings and 7,200 on FanDuel at home against the Jets. I believe the Raiders are roughly a billion-point favorite. I think he's in a fantastic spot. He's going to get plenty of carries in his first home game and in his hometown. I think that I'm going to be overweight on Marshawn Lynch this week. Where are you going to be on Lynch?
Sell. I will not be touching him at all in any lineup. He had 29 snaps. It's all he played last week. He looked good in those snaps. But do you really expect Oakland? I mean, Oakland's going to win this game handily, right? I mean, you agree with me. I expect them to throw the ball all over this Jets defense. And given that fact, do you think early in the season that Oakland is just going to pound Marshawn Lynch up in the game, or are they going to give other guys carries? I don't see any reason Oakland is going to give him 20 to 25 touches in a game that they're going to be winning easily.
I like old guys early, which is why I'm high on Lynch, and I'll be high on the next guy too, I think, that we'll talk about. But yeah, I think that they're going to give Lynch the ball. I think the narrative is in play. I'm walking down narrative street here, but I think the narrative is in play for Lynch at home against a terrible defense to just, you know, plug him full of carries. And I don't think Marshawn Lynch is going to the whole year. So why not give it to him in September?
See, I believe this team is an actual contender in the AFC. I think they know that, and they're going to do their best to protect him whenever they can, particularly early on after he didn't play football for an entire year. I don't see any way that he's getting a full complement of carries in this game.
All right, let's move on to the next guy, and it's Larry Fitzgerald, a guy who I had in pretty much every lineup last week and was so close to busting a few. And now with David Johnson out, I feel like they're going to be throwing the ball a little bit more, and then they get a putrid Colts defense this week. And Fitzgerald is going to be able to do whatever he wants, especially against a Colts defense that is going to be missing Vontae Davis. I've been overweight on everybody so far. I'm going to add Larry Fitzgerald to the list on that. Kyle, are you going to be overweight or underweight on Larry Fitzgerald this
week? You know, I've been selling everyone so far. And we talked about him last week in this same segment, and I didn't want anything to do with him. This week, I'm buying it. I do not like any of the running backs that Arizona has. Kerwin Williams, they re-signed Chris Johnson, Andre Ellington there. I don't want anything to do with those guys. I think that you're going to see Arizona throw the ball a lot. I don't think they want to particularly. Carson Palmer did not look good last week. But Larry Fitzgerald had 13 targets against Detroit against this Indianapolis defense. I think that's going to continue to happen. I'm going to be spying a whole lot of Larry Fitzgerald this week in this matchup.
All right. I think we're on the same page on that. And one more guy I want to throw at you for this segment, a guy who, you know, found his way into a decent fantasy day, but oh boy, averaged 2.1 yards per carry. Now at home against Washington, overweight or underweight on Todd Gurley?
You can ask me this every week, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you underweight. I am not a Todd Gurley fan. There are some people out there that just continue to ride this guy. I want nothing to do with Todd Gurley at all this season.
I was all over him this last week, and it paid off. But
I mean, it did pay off, particularly with the other guys and Bell and Johnson having such down weeks. But there was I watched some of that game on Monday to go back and look at them, and there was nothing that popped off the page that made me think that this is a guy that can be an every down back that pays off on a week-to-week basis.
The only thing that's going to keep him on some of my lineups, and I will be underweight, whatever the projections go out as to what Gurley's ownership is going to be, I will be underweight on it. But he got 6 targets, and he's going to be a part of the passing game this year. And on a full-point PPR site like DraftKings, that's enough to raise the floor where you can expect, you know, 4 catches maybe, and maybe he finds a way to get into the end zone, you know, through the air, through a dump-off. But that's the only reason that I am even considering him, really, at this point.
I feel confident that I could put you behind that Rams offensive line against the Indianapolis defense, and you could have done better than 2.1 yards per carry.
Trent Richardson 2.0, maybe. all right, so let's move on to some of our favorite plays this week. We'll go kind of position by position. Kyle, who are some of your favorite plays at quarterback on FanDuel this week?
Okay, I'll go from top to bottom in pricing when we go through these lists. I'm going to start out with Tom Brady. I think you can pair him with the two guys I said, either James White or Gronk. It's going to be a high-scoring game. I expect the Patriots. I expect Brady to throw the ball 40 to 45 times in this game. Under him, Matt Ryan at home against with Julio Jones. I think that's a good pairing. I think you're going to see a lot of love for Derek Carr and Amari Cooper. Don't have a problem with that. And I think the dark horse for me this week is I like Phillip Rivers at home. He threw 3 touchdowns against this Miami defense last year. Yes, I know he threw 4 interceptions. I don't expect that to happen again. Miami's coming across country to Phillip Rivers. I think this is a prime spot for him at $7,000 on FanDuel to pay off big time with a 300-yard game and at least 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. I think there's going to be a lot of traffic going to high dollar quarterbacks this week. There's nobody outside of Rivers, and I like Rivers on DraftKings too. He's only 5,800 there. There's so many quarterbacks in great spots, and they're all high dollar quarterbacks this week. Brady, Breeze, Ryan, Rodgers, Carr, and I'll even throw Russell Wilson at home against the Niners in there. And maybe even if you really want to get a little bit cute, even Ben Roethlisberger at home against the Vikings. I know the Vikings have a great defense, but Roethlisberger at home has been money, even against good defenses over the years. So those are the top, gosh, on DraftKings, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 quarterbacks in terms of price. I'm staying away from Cam Newton, by the way. That's a guy that I'm
yeah, he did not look good. Did not look good last week.
He looked rusty, and he was limited today. We're taping this on Thursday. He was limited in Thursday's practice with that shoulder. So
he took a pretty good shot on a sack. He fell right on that shoulder too. I'm a little bit worried about him long term.
Yeah, until he's fully healthy, I'm staying away from Cam. But yeah, I love the Rivers call, especially at home. I think that's a really, really good call.
The only thing that is keeping me from locking Rivers and Keenan Allen in as my combo is the fact that I also really love Melvin Gordon, and I don't want to have all three in the same lineups.
You know, if you are playing in a large field GPP, there's actually, I think, some statistical evidence out there of going, you know, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, especially if it's, you know, running back one and wide receiver one. And that is a really good way to differentiate, and it's not entirely negative as far as the correlation to play all three of those guys. So, Kyle, I would actually encourage you to do one lineup with all three of those guys if you think the Chargers can run it up on the Dolphins.
I think this is a prime spot for the Chargers to put up 35 points at home.
Yeah, I think a Chargers onslaught is actually going to be a pretty underutilized lineup, especially with all the traffic that's going to go to the New England-New Orleans game and the Atlanta-Green Bay game. Chargers are pretty sneaky this week.
Absolutely.
All right, let's move on to running back, Kyle. Who are some of your favorite plays there on FanDuel?
Okay, well, you know, I out of the top guys, well, first off, before I can I ask you, what do you think about Le'Veon Bell?
I still think he's a good play.
Okay.
Even with the price, I think I'm running off last week as kind of a fluke.
You know, I'm interested to see what his ownership is going to be like. I wonder if it's going to scare enough people off the way he played last week, the lack of touches that he got, and the fact that he's playing the Minnesota defense. Like, if you're going to get Le'Veon Bell at like a season low ownership, I think that's worth firing him up. I'm not going to advocate it, but I think that's a
it's
logical way. Yeah, I think
yeah.
So. I really think Ezekiel Elliott at 8,700 on FanDuel is a great play. People overestimate that Denver defense. Good against the pass, awful against the run. We've seen Dallas more than willing to give Zeke the ball as many times as necessary. I already said how much I like Melvin Gordon. Ty Montgomery, obviously a good play, one that, I probably am going to stay away from just because of the ownership. Christian McCaffrey is also in that same range of Ty Montgomery salary-wise. Buffalo's run defense is not good, and I just like the amount of touches that was encouraging last week, how much Christian McCaffrey was involved in that game plan. And like I said, my favorite play of the week at any position is James White at $5,700 on FanDuel.
Yeah, I think those are all really good plays on DraftKings. Like you, I'm very interested to see what the ownership will be on Bell. I'm certainly not afraid to go back to the well with that. And Zeke Elliott, I think he's becoming almost chalky. I think people are starting to realize that Denver defense can be beaten on the ground, and Zeke Elliott is a guy that people like to play. So I think Elliott's a fantastic pick. I like Freeman. I think Gordon could end up being, you know, one of the top running backs on the week just because of the volume. You know, we talked about Gurley and Lynch. Montgomery's a guy that, like I said, I want all of it.
We haven't talked through all this. There was three really good rookie running backs last week outside mm-hmm. of Tariq Cohen. Yep. We haven't mentioned any of them in Kareem Hunt, Leonard Fournette, or Dalvin Cook. You going to have any of those guys?
I'll have some Hunt. I'm not thrilled with Cook in this matchup. I think there are better plays at that price point. But I'll have some Hunt. I'll have some Hunt.
I think I'm going to have some of all three.
Okay.
I think Hunt, if I fade any of them, it's going to be Hunt, not because I don't think this is a good matchup, and I love the way the Chiefs use their running backs. I just think that with his he put up 43 points on FanDuel. I think that's going to cause a lot of people to flock that way. So yeah. I might avoid that one. They're going to continue to give Leonard Fournette the ball a ton in Jacksonville. And I actually don't mind Dalvin Cook. I like the way he looked in that game. Pittsburgh defense, I know people are really high on him. I think I saw Steven Tuitt's going to be out this week. That's a big loss in the run defense if that is what happens, if he's out this week. I think Dalvin Cook is actually a pretty solid play that's going to go a little overlooked.
Yeah, I like Cook. I'm going to play it more, and I think in home matchups and in matchups against worse defenses. I'll throw out one more guy that I like this week, Jaquizz Rodgers. He's going to get all the volume in Tampa Bay with Doug Martin suspended. Bears lost Jarrell Freeman. That's a huge loss for their defense, for their front seven. I think with the volume in the matchup in a game in which the Bucs are favored at home, I think Rodgers is a guy you have to at least consider this week.
He's priced right in the same range as McCaffrey and Cook and Ty Montgomery. I'm not going there. I know that
it's way cheaper on DraftKings.
Yeah, see, I mean, we have seen the Bucs have a willingness to give him the ball a ton. I still like this Bears defense, even with Jarrell Freeman out. I think Nick Kwiatkowski, who's going to be filling in, is a solid linebacker. The Bears just haven't shown a propensity to give up a ton of yardage to running backs. At his salary on FanDuel, I don't think I can go there.
All right, let's move on to wide receiver then. Kyle, who are some of the favorite guys that you're looking at? I know we talked about Cooks a little bit, and Fitzgerald, but who are some other guys you're looking at?
Yeah, Julio Jones, of course. You know, that's he might be the highest owned wide receiver on the week. He's torched the Packers two out of their last three meetings, and everyone's going to remember last year's playoff matchup. But the Packers secondary has not gotten better. Julio Jones, go ahead and lock him in. Even you're talking about Montgomery. You're not worrying about. The ownership. I don't worry about the ownership on Julio Jones. I think he's in for a big day. Amari Cooper had four red zone targets last week. He had seven all of 2016. I think that's a great play against the Jets. Here's a guy that I'm interested to see how you feel about this week. Tyreek Hill.
Yes, I think the matchup is great, especially with Ronald Darby from the Eagles getting hurt last week. He's going to miss a month. You know, he's in an offense where the Chiefs want to get him the ball. I know he's not going to hit the home run every week, so some week you're going to get burned. But the Chiefs want to get this guy the ball. You know, he's $6,200 on DraftKings. He's $300 cheaper than Larry Fitzgerald. I'm definitely going to have some Tyreek Hill this week.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite plays on the board. I plan on locking him in across several lineups. We have already talked about Fitzgerald and Keenan Allen a little bit. The other guys that I'm interested in, and you can go either way here, Diggs and Thielen for Minnesota. I think that game has sneaky shootout potential. I'm not as big as a believer in the Pittsburgh defense as most people are. I think that there's going to be a lot of back and forth. I really, really liked, and I know it was at home and it was against the Saints defense, but I really liked what I saw that Minnesota offense. I thought they had really nice balance. I like what they're doing at wide receiver. They had a talented tight end. I think they can move the ball a lot, and I think at the price point for Diggs and Thielen, they're both in play.
I mean, look, the targets are going to be there in that Minnesota offense.
Absolutely.
There's locked in volume for those two, so I think there's a certain amount of consistency you can expect. You're not going to get 25 points every week out of Diggs or Thielen, but the targets are there. So I don't mind that call at all. I really like, I mentioned another Tampa Bay guy, but DeSean Jackson in GPPs. He's $100 cheaper than Thielen on DraftKings, and he's a guy who really doesn't need much to go off and have a big game. And the Bears secondary, it's going to be shaded coverage towards Mike Evans. Vic Fangio is really good at taking away your number one receiving option, and DeSean Jackson, the reason he's in Tampa Bay is to be that number two guy. So I like DeSean Jackson a lot this week in GPPs.
Yeah, and I think he's an excellent dart throw. You're completely correct. We saw it again last week with Julio Jones. The Bears do a really good job against number one wide receivers, but we've seen time and time again from this Bears defense over the last few years, they're prone to have breakdowns, and I'm going to take the speedster in that case. I think DeSean Jackson might not have 7 or 8 targets, but I think it's very possible he breaks, you know, we've seen this time and time again from him. I think it's possible that he breaks the long one, you know, 70-yard touchdown.
Mm-hmm. One guy I'm interested in your take on him, and he's not in the main slate, but Kenny Golladay, the Northern Illinois product who came out with 2 touchdowns in week 1. Do you like him again this week?
Well, I mean, I trust me, I have a lot of love for Kenny Golladay, but I don't like him in this matchup. I also think that a lot of people that are playing that slate that includes the Monday night game, given his performance last week, he's going to be over-owned. I'd fade him. I do like his prospects long-term, and you saw the athleticism last week. I mean, the guy is a stud. But given the fact that his ownership is going to be higher than it should be, I'd probably fade him if I were you.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat there. All right, let's move on to tight end. Who are some of your favorite guys? We talked about Gronk, but anybody else that really sticks out to you at tight end this week?
Yeah, you know, tight end's such a hard position to predict from week to week. Hey, by the way, Charles Clay, that was my call last week. That worked out pretty nicely. Outside of Gronk this week, Cameron Brate tore up the Bears last year. I think that's going to continue. I know people worried about O.J. Howard, but we've seen rookie tight ends struggle year in and year out. I think Cameron Brate's going to be the clear number one tight end there, at least in the first half of the season. And, you know, how do you feel about Jordan Reed? I feel like that's a low-owned play that could gain some traction.
You know, I like Jordan Reed long-term. I think the toe is still bothering him, though. And so I don't love playing guys who are appearing on the injury report in general. And so I may stay away from Reed until I'm confident that he's healthy.
Okay. See, I like Washington's offense this week. I think people are going to stay away from them because they're on the road on the West Coast against the Rams defense that played really well last week. But you got to take Scott Tolzien into account there. Mm-hmm. I think Jordan Reed's going to be way under-owned, particularly because of that toe injury. But he played a full amount of snaps last week and had 8 targets, I want to say. Yeah, 8 targets last week. I think that's a good low-owned play.
And on DraftKings, he is sandwiched in between Ertz, Kelsey, Graham, and Walker. So, you're in a spot where I think there are other guys that are going to get that traffic, and Reed is probably going to get ignored a little bit. Especially with Washington, you know, laying a clunker in week 1.
Yeah. Do you have any low price dart throws you're looking at tight end?
Kobe Fleener. It's not really a
dart throw. I've heard a lot of traction on him this week.
Yeah, it's not really a dart throw, but he is low priced. He's only 3,100 on DraftKings, and you know, with Willie Snead out, we've seen Kobe Fleener have two top five. Tight end performances with when Snead is out, Breeze goes and looks for Fleener, and Fleener, you know, I think can have a pretty decent day in a high scoring game against the Patriots.
You know, I get everything you just said makes sense, but I've just seen Kobe Fleener disappear in this offense too often. Mm-hmm. You know, last week would have been very pedestrian. He had that late touchdown. Otherwise, it was a very kind of a lackluster
still counts.
Week. Yeah, still counts. But I just, I on FanDuel, I can get Cameron Brate for the same price, and I'm going to go that way every time when it comes down to him and Kobe Fleener.
Yeah, and they're $100 difference on DraftKings, so I certainly get the argument there. All right, so Kyle, let's close it out. Give me a bold call for the week, a guy that you think may be under-owned that goes off, or a point projection you really like. Give me one bold call for this week.
Okay, I'm going to go with, as we were talking about my love of Phillip Rivers this week, I'm going to go with Phillip Rivers for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns.
303, I like it. I'm actually staying in the same game, but a different lane. Melvin Gordon is RB1 this week. I think he's the top play on the board against that Dolphins defense.
I can't argue with you, and I think from the sounds of it, we're going to have a whole lot of Chargers this week.
I think we are. I think they're going to be under-owned, too. All right, so that'll do it for this week's Pro Football Weekly DFS Fantasy Football Podcast. For Kyle Neighbors, my name is John Solly. Good luck in your matchups this week.